signify their presence. Have all members voted? Secretary, close roll.
The roll shows 17 members present this morning. Senator Moss and Senator Sturgiluski are excused from the call of the Senate today. Senator Sturgiluski is present.
And we stand for the invocation.
Lord of the land, you are present in all we say and do. Keep us honest in our dealings, both private and public. May we sleep with a sound conscience and live our days respected by all. We ask this today and all days, now and forever. Amen.
I move and ask unanimous consent that prayer be spread in the journal.
I wish to certify as to correctness of the journal for the 136th legislative day and Senate supplement number 37.
Mr. Floor Leader.
Move the journal for the 136th legislative day and Senate supplement number 37 be approved as certified.
Without objection, so ordered. Are the guests for introductions? You have the floor, Senator. State Affairs, Senator.
Mr. President, I'd like to be shown as present.
Objection. Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, in the far gallery is a visitor from Fort Worth, Texas, Mr. John Grady O'Hara of the John Grady O'Hara Company. Mr. O'Hara is in Alaska for meetings with state officials for the possible exploration and development of minerals in our offshore areas. He is the owner of a vessel, the Offshore Miner, and he will be meeting with Commissioner Wunicki and other state officials today. Mr. O'Hara.
We welcome you here this morning. Are there messages from the governor?
Messages of June 1. I have read the following resolution and am transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. Senate Resolution Number 5, authorizing a study of the Certificate of Need Program, Senate Resolve Number 2. I have signed the following bill and am transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. House Bill Number 411, an act making a supplemental appropriation for the operation of the legislature and providing for an effective date, Chapter 17, Session Laws 1983. Sincerely, Bill Sheffield, Governor. Those are the messages from the governor.
There are messages from the House.
Message of June 1, the House passed the following and transmitted for our consideration. CS for House Bill Number 313, LNC, by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to the Alaska Transportation Commission and providing for an effective date.
313. Commerce, Judiciary may wish to look at it. Sign it to the Commerce Committee.
CS for House Bill Number 323, Finance Amended, by the Finance Committee, an act relating to residency and residency requirements and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Judiciary.
That was the only message from the House.
Are the communications this morning?
A report facing issues facing the future use of Alaska North Slope Natural Gas, May 12, 1983, has been distributed to all senators and is on file in the Secretary's office.
Senator Ray.
Could we revert to messages from the House?
Without objection.
Was there any indication of, have you received a communication as to the activities of the House? It's a common rumor that somehow that they have adjourned.
I have received no formal communication from the House. I was in this building last night when an adjournment motion, I understand, was accommodated by the majority coalition group.
Again, sir, could you tell me whether it was just an adjournment motion or was there a date certain?
It was adjournment to a date certain, Senator Ray.
Well, I would like to have it on the record that as a member of this body and longstanding member, and I would think that this would be an illegal activity, and I'd like it so noted in the journal.
Thank you, Mr. Judiciary Chairman. And you have the floor.
A question to the chair. Is it the intent of the chair to, presuming that the House has adjourned, to go into session Monday, thus requiring the House to come into session on Monday following the constitutional guidelines?
Yes. The House returns every 3 days, as you
Thank
know.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Or the first 3 days, hopefully, to finish the session. That is correct. We will have a Monday session. Secretary of Senate, please proceed.
Message of May 27 from Richard A. Lyon, Commissioner, Department of Commerce and Economic Development, to Senator Kurtula. In conformance with state law, the Alaska Agriculture Action Council hereby submits the annual report for 1982. As you are aware, the entire agriculture situation is under administrative review, and the 1982 report should be reviewed in that context. This will be on file in the Secretary's office. Message of April 29 from the Alaska Public Utilities Commission. Pursuant to AS 42-5-211, we submit to the legislature the 13th annual report of the Alaska Public Utilities Commission covering the calendar year ended December 31, 1982. Respectfully, the Alaska Public Utilities Commission Chairman, Carolyn Guest. This will be on file.
Commerce may wish to look at it. It is in the Commerce Department for bookkeeping purposes.
Those were the communications.
Are the reports of standing committees?
June 1, from the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, subject governor's appointments. The Senate Hess Committee, finding no objection to the following governor's appointees, recommends that they be brought before joint session for confirmation hearing. This memo is not intended to bind any committee member to vote for or against any appointee in the confirmation hearing. Board of Chiropractic Examiners, Lene Burmeister, Keith Godfrey. Board of Nursing, Linda Todd. State Physical Therapy Board, Emmett Bold. Professional Teaching Practices Commission, Norman Shelton, Charles Simpler. Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associate Examiners, Paul Turner. State Medical Board, Dr. Thomas Conley. Signed, Senator Josephson, Chairman, Senator Vic Fisher, Senator Paul Fisher, and Senator Hofford. Message of June 1 from the State Affairs Committee. Dear Mr. President, the members of the State Affairs Committee have considered the following executive appointment and no objection has been stated to her confirmation. State Commission for Human Rights, Jacqueline Lenauer. This does not indicate an intention on the part of any committee member to vote for or against confirmation of this individual. Sincerely, Vic Fisher, Chairman.
Ready? The further standing committee reports.
From the Judiciary Committee, dear Mr. President, the members of the Judiciary Committee have considered the following executive appointments to the Alaska Bar Association Board of Governors, and no objections have been stated to her confirmation, Glenda Straub. This does not indicate an intention on the part of any committee member to vote for or against confirmation of the individual. Sincerely, Senator Ray, Chairman. From the Resources Committee, June 2, pursuant to your instructions, the Senate Resources Committee has had under consideration the governor's appointments named on the attached sheet. There were no stated objections to confirmation of the named individuals by committee members. This does not necessarily indicate an intention to vote for or against the individuals named at the time of the joint session on confirmation. Signed, Senators Fahrenkamp, Chairman, Ziegler, Eliason, Fisher, Paul Fisher, Vic Fisher, Mulcahy, and Sturgiluski. Commissioner Don W. Collingsworth, Department of Fish and Game, Board of Fisheries, Angusson, Gossel, Islieb, Jolin, and Weller, and the Guide Licensing and Control Board, Holdeen Carlo. The Rules Committee considered Senate Bill No. 154, repealing the municipal exemption option to the Public Employment Relations Act, and recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute and calendar June 2nd. Signed, Senator Fakes, Chairman, concurring Senators Bennett, Ray, and Kelly. This does appear on today's calendar. Judiciary considered CS for SS House Joint Resolution No. 7, Judiciary, proposing amendments to the Constitution of Alaska relating to the election of the Attorney General. Senator Ray, Chairman, and Senator Ziegler and Josephson signed, do not pass. Senator Lyson signed a recommendation. Senator Pettyjohn signed do pass. HDR 7 has a further referral to finance. The Finance Committee considered Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 103, Jude, establishing a Department of Corrections and transferring certain functions to the Department of Health and Social Services to the Department of Corrections, and recommends be replaced with a Senate Committee Substitute. With the majority do pass, signed Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Josephson, Bakes, Vic Fisher, and Sackett. Senator Mulcahy signed no recommendation. House Bill 103 has no further referral.
Rules Committee for placement on calendar.
Judiciary considered Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 128, Jude, raising the penalties for promoting child prostitution, and recommends do pass. Signed Senator Ray, chairman, concurring Senators Ziegler, Pettyjohn, Eliason, and Josephson. House Bill 128 has no further referral.
Rules Committee for placement on the calendar.
Finance considered second CS House Bill 309, Finn, making reappropriations and transfers among appropriations and extending the lapse date of certain appropriations, and recommends that it be replaced with a Senate Committee Substitute and do pass. Signed Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Josephson, Mulcahy, Fakes, Vic Fisher, and Sackett. House Bill 309 has no further referral.
Rules Committee for placement on calendar.
Finance considered Senate Bill Number 233, enacting the Northwest Interstate Compact on low-level radioactive waste management, and recommends do pass. Signed Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Mulcahy, Josephson, Sackett, Vic Fisher, and Fakes. SB 233 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Rules Committee considered CS for House Bill Number 251, Hess, State Support for Education, and recommends that it be replaced with a committee, Rules Committee Substitute and calendar June 2nd. Signed Senator Fakes, chairman, concurring Senators Bennett, Ray, and Kelly. This bill does appear on today's calendar. The Rules Committee considered Senate Bill Number 224, Establishment of Prison Facilities, and recommends that the Senator Fakes, chairman, signs do pass Finance Committee Substitute. Senator Bennett signed a calendar. Senator Ray signed pass the Hess Committee Substitute, and Senator Kelly signed calendar and no recommendation. This does appear on today's calendar. The Rules Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution Number 26, Training of Physicians, and House Bill Number 187, Regulation, Licensing, and Fee for Fur Farming, and recommends they be calendared on June 2nd. Signed Senator Fakes, chairman, concurring Senators Bennett, Ray, and Kelly. These also appear on today's calendar. Those are the standing committee reports.
The reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
There is a resolution for introduction.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 29 by Senator Ray, proposing an amendment to the Uniform Rules of the Alaska State Legislature relating to recommendations in committee reports.
Judiciary Committee.
That was the only new resolution.
There is a bill for introduction.
Senate Bill Number 306 by Senators Kelly, Pettyjohn, Hofford, and Rohde, an act prohibiting provisions in certain rental agreements relating to the possession of firearms.
Commerce, Judiciary.
That was the only new bill.
Takes us to the daily calendar this morning. The first item on the daily calendar is Senate Joint Resolution 26. Secretary, read the bill by title.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 26 by Senators Krutula, Sturdalewski, Rohde, Josephson, Vic Fisher, Fakes, Kelly, and Fahrenkamp, relating to training of physicians. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered this resolution, and a majority of the committee recommends do pass. Signed Senator Josephson, chairman, concurring Senators Moss, Vic Fisher, and Hofford. Senator Paul Fisher signed no recommendation.
Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
In absence of amendments, Senator Ray.
Move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Joint Resolution 26 be considered engrossed in advance of third reading, placed in final passage.
Objection. So ordered. Secretary, read the bill.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 26, relating to training of physicians.
Bills before you for discussion and debate.
Question.
You have questions called for. Senator Paul Fisher has the floor.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, I would like to know the purpose of the WAMI program.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, the WAMI program trains medical students at the University of Washington Medical School from the Northwest regional states which participate and which are listed in the resolution. Under the WAMI program, medical students receive part of their education on the University of Washington campus. They do clinical work under the preceptorship of physicians and hospitals located within the region. Some students, particularly Alaska resident students, do part of their training in Alaska, and indeed the first year of study is designed to be on the University of Alaska Fairbanks campus, where the elementary chemical and non-clinical work can be taken. What has happened here is that the university has offered Alaska the opportunity to increase its slots from 10 to 15, which would afford more educational opportunities for Alaskans wishing to become doctors. It's felt that by making this opportunity available in a climate in which medical school tuition is so rapidly increasing, we preserve entry opportunities in medicine for Alaskans. We encourage them to stay in Alaska, and incidentally, we encourage others from the region who elect to do some of their work in Alaska to become Alaska doctors.
Senator Paul Fisher.
Thank you. That was a very good description of the program, Mr. President. The other question I have is the absence of a fiscal note. I have information here from the university that indicated in fiscal 83 there was $171,000 in federal receipts, and I understand in fiscal 84 that federal program will not be continued. And I'm wondering if the Finance Committee had some other information. I had this information as of yesterday, and I'm just wondering if there's something that I don't know about as to why there is no fiscal note reflecting that charge.
Is there further debate?
Mr. Chairman, I was hoping, if there is no answer, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to go on then. I'll assume that it might have been an oversight. Mr. Chairman, in the background that we got for SJR 26, and I think it's a noble experiment, I think it is nice to think in those terms, but the information that we received, it indicates that the attrition rate of physicians in Alaska is approximately 20 per year. The students graduating from WAMI program this year will only be able to provide half of the needed positions. I think, Mr. President, we're making the assumption that these 10 students are coming back to the state of Alaska per year, which is not the case. The University of Washington School of Medicine, for the first time since 1975, according to information we have, is in a position to accept more Alaskans into their program. And the reason they're willing to accept more, Mr. Chairman, is the fact that the University of Alaska is not in the best shape financially, and they would welcome the added revenue. Also, in the documents that we received in support of the program, they're talking about the present 10 positions, of course, coming back per year. But this program, Mr. Chairman, started back in 1971. And there used to be a television show called The $6 Million Man. We have that man in the state of Alaska today, Mr. President. It's not fiction anymore. As of 1980... In 81, we have had one student come back to the state of Alaska after the expenditure of almost $6 million. I believe, Mr. Chairman, if we're going to use state funds for a medical program, I think the people in the state of Alaska should be expected to get some kind of a fair return for their investment. The program should not be a subsidy for other states other than the state of Alaska. It is known that doctors tend to locate within a certain radius of where they perform their internship. I firmly believe, and if we're going to do what I think the program was intended to do, and that is to bring people back to the state of Alaska to practice medicine, the most effective way to do this is to provide for a residency training program in Alaska. Nationally, as I said before, doctors tend to locate within a certain radius of where they do their residency training. Anchorage does have the population base, and Providence Hospital has the capability of participating in this kind of program. A family medicine residency training program could be established in conjunction with Providence and could serve as the training center for Alaska medical students or others who wish to practice in Alaska. This type of program is expensive, with operating costs of around $1 million per year at first, but over time it would become one-third to one-half self-supporting and would provide medical training for students and medical services for Alaskans. In light of the resolution, Mr. Chairman, I'm not knocking the 10 positions. I think we may have a financial commitment to the University of Washington Medical School because they were so kind years ago to grant us those slots. But I think to add five at this time, which would be a continuing financial drain on the state for something that we're getting very little, if any, return. As of yesterday, I did locate about four doctors. Now, we're talking now 1983. I called one of the doctors to find out why they came back to Alaska, and it wasn't that they were participating in the WAMI program. It was the fact that this particular doctor had friends and relatives in the state, and that's why they came back. I think the cost is too great. We have to, if we're going to continue the program, build into the program where if we're going to put $100,000 per student, plus the student loans, I'm not even counting those, there's got to be some return. If the doctor does not come back to the state of Alaska, maybe we should build into the program that they must reimburse the state that $100,000. If we really want to get doctors here, as I assume WAMI was originally organized to do, maybe we ought to offer $30,000 a year up to 3 years for any doctor coming into the state to practice. Mr. Chairman, I think that to add five at this time is a waste of state money, and we ought to look at the program and try to see if we can't come up with an in-state residency site, which will answer the needs of the state of Alaska.
Senator Josephson.
Mr. President, I wish that the senator had the opportunity I had to visit the University of Washington Medical School before the start of the session. There I saw some remarkable things. First of all, there is a training of Alaska doctor component in this program in which the University of Washington medical faculty interacts with Alaska physicians. Secondly, at the University of Washington Medical School, I saw infants from my district, and I presume from the senator's district, in the special care unit, which is very necessary because of the inadequate facilities in Alaska, so that there is a lot going on to improve medical care and even to provide actual hands-on medical care for Alaskans at the University of Washington that is annexed to or part of the WAMI program. I'd also like to observe that I think there is some confusion here because the senator indicated that there was only one WAMI student who's come back since 1971, and he also said he talked to four of the one. Mr. President, my information is that over 10 students have returned from the University of Washington with medical degrees and are in practice in Alaska. In fact, we had a list of them by name. I don't know whether they're coming back because their relatives and friends are in Alaska, or because they like to hunt and fish in Alaska, or because they went to the University of Washington. I can't get into that. But there is an inflow of those doctors back to the state. They are people who were born and reared in Alaska, who are now taking their part as responsible medical practitioners in the state and serving Alaskans. And what I don't know what more we could ask of them than that, Mr. President. So I think the program is useful, and I think that if the choice is saying to the Alaskan who is motivated to be a doctor, go out and spend $20,000 or $25,000 at the Georgetown Medical Center or the George Washington Medical Center or the Harvard Medical Center, or go as an in-state, be treated as a Washingtonian for tuition purposes at the University of Washington and do part of your work in Alaska and work under Alaska physicians, I don't think there's any question. And if the senator wants to propose that we have a residency program and that we do what we can to help Alaska hospitals qualify for residency program, and that's been discussed with reference to Providence Hospital, I'm all for that. But I don't think that is an argument for stopping this resolution.
We do have a substantial study on the residency program and the negative aspects of it and the opposition to it, incidentally. I can get that for you, Senator Fisher. Senator Sturgiluski has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President, I'm very supportive of this. It's in response to Senator Fisher, I think the reason there's no fiscal note is that the first year of the program of WAMI students is spent at the University of Alaska, so that would be accommodated within their regular budget and would not be additional. The fiscal impact will come over the years following, and it's my understanding that the university wanted to have some indication that there would be that support in the future rather than going ahead. We talk a lot about the window that's available in resources. Well, there happens to be a window open right now for additional slots in the WAMI program. And it's true, as Senator Fisher indicated, that it's because Washington, University of Washington, the medical school, is having some problems. But the fact is that Alaska has had an extraordinarily low percentage per population of ability to get into the medical program. And this really brings us a chance to increase those slots. So I think it's a very unique opportunity to do it. And I think we have to be a little careful when we use the numbers. I have a young friend. As a matter of fact, I tried to help a good number of years ago, and he was successful for whatever reason to get into the program. He's now down at in New Mexico. He's going into specialized kind of a program. He's going to be back here, but he's been away from the state for 8 years. It simply takes that long to get through the program. And I think we've made, through various programs, the access to higher educational facilities and in many, many programs. And I just think that now's the chance we ought to take this one. I think it's very unique, and we should go for it.
I might say, I suspect I ought to declare it, but this card is University of Washington Medical Card, open to every single Alaskan, and it, of course, directly ties in the fact that we're cooperating, and any Alaskan can be part of the outpatient arrangement at the University of Washington. My secretary's grandchild undoubtedly would have been gone if she hadn't had the opportunity to bring that child immediately to the pediatrics department at the University of Washington in the last 2 years. Sally Hansen works upstairs. You're welcome to check with her on the residual other benefits besides just medical student benefits. You have the floor, Senator.
Oh, thank you, Mr. President. I think what you say is valid, probably, for continuing the 10 positions we now have. These benefits that you allude to will be there, regardless of whether we add five additional spaces or not. What I'm arguing against, Mr. Chairman, is the five additional spaces without really looking into taking that same amount of money and putting it into an in-state residency site, which I think would be of greater benefit to the citizens of the state of Alaska. The senator from downtown Anchorage, I would like to let him know where I did get my information. It's a 1980-81 report that comes out. It's the University of Washington publishes it. It's called the WAMI Report. And on the 80-81 report, it indicated there's only one Alaskan WAMI graduate practicing in Alaska, and that happens to be an Alaskan or an Anchorage doctor. And of those graduates who entered in 72, 73, 74, 75, and 76, none were located in Alaska as of 1979 and 1980. Now, those that are in 77, 8, 9, and 80, they're still in training. What I'm saying, Mr. President, I'm not saying scrap the program. I think we have an obligation to the University of Washington because they were so kind when we needed them. But I think to add 50% increase at this point with such a low return, I think it needs further study.
Senator Pettit, John.
Well, this is in response to some remarks made by the senator from downtown Anchorage about the participants in this program being born and reared in Alaska. As I understand the Zobel decision, it would be possible at this time for a student at the University of Oregon to do his senior year up here, having no other connection with the state, and qualify for this program and have a massive subsidy for his medical education and at the conclusion of the education go back to Oregon, having spent a grand total of 1 year in this state. And I think that's something we ought to address before we start expanding this program. Thank you.
Ready for the question. The question is, shall Senate Joint Resolution 26, shall it pass the Senate? You may proceed. All members voted. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 16 yeas, 2 nays, 1 excused, and 1 absent.
Senate Joint Resolution 26 is passed. Senate. Next item, Senate Bill 224, Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I'd move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for Senate Bill 224 has to be held for Monday's calendar.
Objection. Next item on the dated calendar, Senate Bill 154. Senator Ray.
Move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 154 be held until Monday's calendar.
Objection. Takes us down to second reading of House bills. Committee substitute for House Bill 251. Secretary, read the bill.
CS for House Bill number 251 HESS for the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to state support for education and providing for an effective date. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with a Senate committee substitute. Senator Josephson, chairman, and Senator Vic Fisher signed do pass. Senator Moss signed the recommendation with a new fiscal note. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with a Senate committee substitute finance and do pass. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Ferguson, Mulcahy, Fakes, Josephson, Vic Fisher, and Sackett. The Rules Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with the committee substitute rules and calendar, June 2nd. Signed, Senator Fakes, chairman, concurring Senators Bennett, Ray, and Kelly. There are three committee substitutes.
Rules Committee substitute. Rules Chairperson, do you wish to move it?
Sorry, Mr. President. Yes, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Rules Committee substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 251 be adopted.
Without objection. So ordered. Secretary read the bill by title.
Senate CS 4CS for House Bill Number 251, Rules for the Rules Committee, an act relating to state support for education and providing for an effective date.
Are there amendments?
There is an amendment number one by Senator Gilman on page 4, line 3. This has been distributed.
Could the Secretary read it in context?
Page 4, line 3. See, doesn't work, does it? Okay. Or the opening of new school sites, as reflected in the fiscal year 1984 revised foundation report.
Senator Gilman.
Mr. President. I move the amendment number one, and all this is doing is putting that last clause as part of that sentence, as rather than keeping it as a separate sentence. It does not change anything. It just makes it a little more clear. Mr. President, if I could...
you have floor, Senator.
Have the privilege, and I'm not sure whether this is an amendment or not, but on the committee report that came out of the Finance Committee, and it's included in the packet, it says the committee attached a zero fiscal note analysis dated May 19th, prepared by Senator Sackett. And, quote, this bill has a zero fiscal note. The governor's revised budget presently contains $43 million. I believe that should read $430 million. I don't know whether that makes any difference or not. Pardon?
Senator Sackett, you wish to?
It reads $431 million. The bracket is supposed to be one. If they hit the wrong thing,
I guess maybe it doesn't make a difference.
But it is in the journal. In this particular, as $43 million, and it probably doesn't make any difference.
You have the floors.
As I recall, the floor leader corrected that entry in the journal on the day following. I think if you check your certification of the journal, you will find a correction to that.
Senator Gilman.
Might have been a day that I was asleep. I would move the amendment number one, ask unanimous consent.
No objection. Amendments adopted. Are there further amendments?
There are no other amendments.
Senator Ray.
Move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Committee Substitute or Committee Substitute for House Bill 251 Rules amended be advanced third reading, placed in final passage.
Without objection, so ordered. Secretary read the bill.
Senate CS 4CS for House Bill Number 251, Rules amended, an act relating to state support for education and providing for an effective date.
The bill is before us for discussion and debate. You have the floor, Senator Josephson.
Mr. President, basically, this bill is an attempt to do several things, and I think they're all responsible things. First of all, as the Senate is aware, the school debt retirement program has been mounting in cost. In FY83, the total impact was approximately $62 million. It's estimated to climb to over $90 million in FY84 at an estimated 100% of entitlement, although the actual figure is dependent on the yearly appropriations by the legislature. We have the problem of expectations in the local districts, and a program in which, while many school improvements are necessary, there are no effective state controls or even state input as to the design of schools, other than space standards, the criteria under which districts go ahead and build. We simply get the tab. We don't even have any input into the structure of the bonds as they are sold, as to the length of the time of the amortization schedule. Those things are at present beyond state influence. And yet the districts expect that the bulk of those costs, or up to 90% of them, shall be borne by the state of Alaska. We want to preserve our good faith with what is out there, Mr. President, and the bill would provide for continuing fiscal assistance from the state up to 90% on bonds already authorized. But as to future authorizations, the bill would provide for reimbursement at 50%. It would provide that the eligible projects would have prior approval from the Commissioner of the Department of Education. It would provide that total project costs would be shown on the bonding ballot when the voters in the localities go to approve those issues. And it would require that repayment must be over a period of at least 15 years to avoid compression upon the state in any given fiscal year from short-term bond issues. As to the foundation formula, as the Senate is aware, there is a study to be made of the equity in that formula. And so pending that study, the basic outlines of the formula are preserved, Mr. President. However, under the bill, we have addressed one narrow area where there have been some reported abuses, the junior high school issue, where some schools have designated certain facilities or portions of facilities as junior high schools merely for the purpose of qualifying them as additional instructional units. And yet we've preserved legitimate junior high school additions so that no districts which have membership in the facility of 50 or more and separate administration for the facility before 1983 would be affected. I will also offer later a letter of intent covering the Cuspic School District's facility at Antioch to make sure that that qualifies as a separate unit, because that is a vocational center which is serving the entire school population of the Antioch or the Cuspic District, whether the student lives in Antioch or not. Mr. President, I think that this is a good compromise. It is offered as a kind of good news, bad news situation to the districts. It tells them that, yes, we intend to keep as much faith as possible with what you've already done, but in the future we're going to have some stricter standards. We're going to study the foundation program, but we are going to, pending the study, leave the program essentially intact. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Gilman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to call the Senate's attention to Section 2 on the first page. Mr. President, Section 2 is the 50% payback that Senator Josephson mentioned, but it does not leave a gap. It is on the same fiscal year, which is one of the problems that we have had with the school debt retirement after the amendments were made last year. It is my opinion, Mr. President, and the purpose for me speaking to this section is that the Department of Education will adopt regulations which will require school districts or municipalities to essentially get their bond issues approved a year in advance of going on the ballot. So there will be some predictability. There is no other alternative that I can see. Otherwise, we'll be right back in the same problem of not having been able to predict even the 50% payback that would be required under, or would be authorized under this section. And I just say this because I would like to have it on the record so that when the Department of Education does that, and I have information that leads me to believe they're going to do that, that we won't have a howl from the local municipalities that this was not anticipated.
Is there further debate?
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, there has been circulated a letter of intent pertaining to the Cuspic School District Secondary School and Vocational Center, and I would move and ask unanimous consent that the letter of intent be adopted by the Senate.
Without objection. Letter of intent has been adopted. Further debate? Ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 251 amended pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, close roll.
The roll shows 14 yeas, 4 nays, 1 excused, and 1 absent.
The bill has been adopted. Senator Ray.
Moving to ask unanimous consent for roll call on the passage of the Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 251 Rules Amended be considered the roll call and effective date clause.
Objection. So ordered. Effective date clause has been adopted. Next item on the daily calendar is House Bill 187. Secretary, read the bill.
CS for House Bill Number 187 Resources by the Resources Committee, an act relating to regulation, licensing, and fee for fur farming and providing for an effective date. The Resources Committee considered this bill and recommends due pass. Signed, Senator Fahrenkamp, Chairman, concurring Senators Vic Fisher, Stojalewski, Elias, and Mulcahy. Senator Ziegler signed no recommendation.
Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
Absence of amendments? Senator Ray?
Move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 187 Resources be advanced to third reading, placed in final passage.
Objection. So ordered. Secretary, read the bill.
CS for House Bill Number 187 Resources, an act relating to regulation, licensing, and fee for fur farming and providing for an effective date.
Bill is before you for discussion and debate. Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. President, this bill makes largely technical but very helpful changes in the regulations for fur farming and fur farming activities. Namely, it eliminates the $100 fee for fur farming license. It reduces the fee from $100 to $300 for collecting animals for breed stock. It streamlines the information regulations and permitting process, and it redefines fur farming to mean the caring for animals for the purpose of marketing their furs or animals themselves for breeding stock.
Further debate? You ready for the question? The question is, shall House Bill 187 pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. All members have voted? Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 18 yeas, 1 absent, and 1 excused.
Bill 87 has passed the House. Senator Ray.
The roll call and committee substitute for House Bill 187 Resources be considered the roll call and effective date clause.
Without objection, so ordered. Effective date clause has been adopted. Senator Ray, do you wish to move the citation calendar back to the rules? Senator Ray.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the citation calendar be sent back to Rules Committee.
Without objection, so ordered. Takes us down to unfinished business. Items under unfinished business. Announcement of committee meetings this morning. Finance Chairman.
Tomorrow morning, 8:30, the Finance Committee will take up House Bill 332, State Medical Boards. We'll also take up the previously announced Senate Bill 37, State Aid for Municipalities, Senate Bill 199, Mortgage Assistance for U.S. Congress Delegation, SCR 9, Farmers Loop road upgrade. Also on Monday morning, we will carry over and take up once again Senate Bill 78, Teachers Collective Bargaining. Also, committee substitute Senate Bill 55, Collective Bargaining, along with Senate Bill 251, Multiple Family Housing Development, and Senate Bill 287, Alaska Industrial Development Authority.
Resources Chairperson.
Mr. Chairman, tomorrow at 3 o'clock, Bell's Room here on Resources has been canceled.
Announcement of committee meetings. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, there will be a minority caucus meeting following today's session.
Chairman.
Mr. President, Chair of Labor and Commerce will meet at 1:30 in the Belfs Room. We're taking up House Bill 315, House Bill 302, and Senate Bill 253. They all relate to housing loans.
State Affairs, Chairman.
Mr. President, the State Affairs is meeting at 3 o'clock today in Butrovich to take up Senate Bill 110 having to do with retirement, public employee and teacher.
Judiciary Chairman?
Mr. President, and concerning the joint session that was called for today, I have a copy here of a letter signed by you as the President that's addressed to the Governor, and I move and ask unanimous consent that it be spread upon the journal.
Objection. So orders. We will not request a joint session today for obvious reasons. The letter is in every Senator's mailbox. Are there further items under announcement of committee meetings? Items under special orders this morning?
Mr. President.
Senator Joseph, you have the floor.
I move and ask unanimous consent for the privilege of the floor. I owe a colleague an apology. I neglected to mention that much of the work that went into the Finance Committee substitute was done by Senator Gilman, who has, of course, a great deal of expertise in municipal government and in public education, and I am indebted to him for that and should have mentioned that during the debate this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. It is a much improved version. There's no doubt about that. Senator Ray? Senator Paul Fisher seeks the floor. Excuse me, Mr. Florley.
Chairman, I'd like to give notice of reconsideration for SJR 26 and CSHB 251.
Senator Ray?
There is no other business to be conducted today. I would move that we adjourn to 10 a.m. Friday, June 3rd.
Senator's adjourned.